Thanks very much for joining us. So looking at some of the ways language is being used or has been used in the past, how has language regarding, well, gay men and women evolved over time and evolved over the past few decades?
Over the past few decades, I suppose the most important change was, or the most important event was in the 1960s when the movement for homosexual decriminalisation, the gay libbers actually used gay as a term to describe themselves, gay men, gay people, were terms that were then used about themselves, and that became a very popular understanding a word that was popularly used to describe people who were same-sex attracted then. That's probably been the biggest and most important and significant change, if you like, until the recent resurgence of the queer movement. I mean, queer was fairly important in the 1990s, and then I think while it was popular in universities, it didn't really develop outside them, and much of the gay men's activity and energies from then until the early 2000s was dedicated towards HIV and the epidemic.
You know, it's quite interesting, as you say, with the queer movement, because it seems like an almost generational thing these days. I've had a few people that have taken offence. Older people generally take offence to the word queer being thrown around, and yet for a lot of younger people, younger generations, it's seen as a bit of a catch-all term for people across the sexuality spectrum.
You're quite right. I remember I actually went to New York to interview a woman who was running an aging gay and lesbian network in Manhattan, and she said, "We just don't use the word queer." And I looked at her and she said, because for these people who are in their 70s and 80s, it was a term of abuse. They don't want to be regarded as queer. It was the term that put them in their place back in the 40s and the 50s. But now there has been a resurgence of the queer movement that I think developed in the early 90s. What's important to remember about queer is that it's not just for non-heterosexuals. It also embraces heterosexuals. So a heterosexual person can be queer because it really means that you don't believe in the binary between homo and heterosexuality.
And you've sort of been looking at the way in which a lot of slurs can be reclaimed and used by the people that they were originally sort of used to ward against other people. Would you mind sort of, explaining to us a little bit how that works?
Sure. Look, clearly it didn't work for the people who are now in their 70s and 80s and who don't want to reclaim queer. My generation, the baby boomers, I think were quite adept at picking up slurs like fag, faggot, possibly also fruit and fairy, and using it in our own group about ourselves to laugh at the slur itself and to remove the power that it once had. Of course, it's a different matter when you're walking down the street alone and a group of people who are not queer, who are not gay men, call out sort of faggot or fruit. It has quite a different meaning then, and it can have an intimidating meaning. But I think part of camp humour, which the gay world inherited from an early generation, is to turn literal meanings on their head and to have a good laugh. I think that's also possibly something that just everyday Australians, gay or straight, can do in terms of laughing at serious meaning. But I think in the gay world in particular, it's very strong and it can be liberating.
It's quite interesting. I know there's a rather big debate going on in the African-American community as well about the reclamation of these kind of derogatory terms, and some believe that it can backfire on the groups in question. I mean, do you have any thoughts regarding it's sort of backfiring on anybody in the queer community trying to reclaim these slurs that were once insults?
Well, gay, you'll be aware for the last decade or so, gay has been a term of abuse in high school. And I was just thinking last night in preparation for this interview with you that, you know, that wouldn't have been allowed to run if, for example, ANZAC had been the term of abuse. If people said that something that was not acceptable behaviour, oh, that's so ANZAC, that wouldn't have lasted 6 months. But the fact that gay's been allowed to go around schools, girls' schools, boys' schools, co-ed schools, as a term to suggest that something's not cool, that's not appropriate, that's not acceptable, that's been allowed to run for 10 years and no one's done anything to stop it. And I think that's regrettable. I guess like graffiti and the spraying of walls, it'll have its turn and it'll run out of energy. But that's been a particularly nasty one, I think, for some young gay people having to deal with it and work out how to deal with it, because it's fairly insidious.
And just perhaps as a final point, perhaps a little bit off topic, but it's sort of some news that has come through this morning regarding the live-action Beauty and the Beast. According to director Bill Condon, it's going to feature Disney's first openly gay character in LaFoe, who's being played by Josh Gad. In terms of representation and in terms of not leaving these things to fester in an insidious kind of way, do you feel we need more open representation in movies, TV shows and the like?
Look, I think, I mean, change is occurring, and I mean, it really has been on the way since the end of the Second World War, I'd say. First there was a period of repression, then things started to open up, and notwithstanding what's going on in Trump's America and the revival of that sort of fairly limited conservative right wing, I think change won't be stopped. It will happen in different suburbs at different rates and according to the neighbourhood and the family. I think if Disney is showing a program for the sort of 5 to 8 year old age group in which there is a gay person or a gay character who's represented well, I think that can only be for the good. You know, parents' groups can get upset if there are textbooks showing lesbian mothers or gay fathers and have them banned. But with a Disney program, very difficult to ban it.
Mm. Well, Peter, thank you very much. Do appreciate your time joining us, having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
Good, and I hope Mardi Gras goes well this weekend in Sydney, Sean.
Absolutely, Peter. Thank you very much. You have a very good day.
Thanks very much, Sean. Bye-bye.